This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction, with a home sold every 9 hours. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, online at ryandallasre.com.
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo! They're back.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We'll hear more from Chester Frazier, a chatter that he had with Derek Piper and Joey Wagner on IlliniInquirer.com. Good stuff with Chester. We'll hear some more of that at the bottom of the hour. Talked a lot of NBA in hour one, as we had a couple of duds, really, in game sevens, but we are now to the final four of the NBA, and when we do that, we bring on our resident expert, Matt Cilich. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Very excited to be in the Final Four. A little bit surprised at the four teams we have playing, but certainly excited for the last couple series here.
It's funny because I was about ready to say, you're such a professional, you knew exactly what I was going to ask you. So how surprised are you with the Final Four we have? Obviously, the Celtics and Heat, then the Heat had the best record in the East, unless I'm wrong there. And then, of course, the Mavs and Golden State in the West. You don't have the Suns. So what does surprise you about these four? Who should be there? And in your mind, what team is the one that you're like, interesting?
Yeah, I think everyone would tell you that it's not a huge shock to see Miami, just because they had the one seed. I think that while the Sixers were a solid team, I think especially after the injuries to Embiid, that kind of hampered him a little bit. And then seeing that Harden was seemingly wearing down once again a little bit in the playoffs, I think that one I started to kind of accept was going to happen maybe towards the start of that series. I'm a little more surprised about, I would say I'm certainly most surprised about Dallas. And Golden State, I think, Golden State and Boston are two teams that had really good stretches during the season, but also had really mediocre stretches during the season. And so it was kind of like a when are they going to be fully healthy, or are they going to be fully healthy? And if they are, they're a big threat. And it turns out that both those teams have been fully healthy, with the exception of, I know, Gary Payton for the Warriors has been out a little bit, and Rob Williams has been out a little bit. But on the whole, the stars have stayed healthy for both those teams. And so I think it's not a huge surprise they're there. So I would say, in terms of who I would have guessed coming in, Milwaukee and Phoenix certainly would have been two of the teams in the Final Four in my prediction. I said all year Phoenix was the best team in the league. Honestly, I still think they were the best team in the league, with maybe the exception of Milwaukee. But obviously both those teams are eliminated now. And to me, it just shows, one, the impact that injuries can have on a series. I think you see that with Chris Middleton and in that Boston series. I think if Milwaukee has Chris Middleton, to be honest, I think they probably win that series. And then, you know, on the Phoenix side, I think it just shows you that sometimes the playoffs are not about better or worse. It's about matchup. And Dallas, as a matchup, clearly had some things that Phoenix was not prepared to deal with. And it showed in four of the last five games of that series, as Dallas won four of the last five on their way to moving on here.
Matt, what was your shock value in that game seven for the Suns and Mavs? You mentioned they're the matchups. What did the Mavs pose that was tough for the Suns to handle, and then for them just to thoroughly dismantle them like they did on their home floor, that being the Suns, yesterday? How shocked were you by that?
Yeah, I think you have to give an enormous amount of credit to Jason Kidd, and I think everyone has been kind of clowning on the Suns today, and obviously last night as well, because, you know, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they were laughing at Luka earlier in the series when they were up 2-0 and everything seemed fine and dandy. And it didn't turn out that way. I think you give a lot of credit to Jason. Like, instead of, you know, we certainly can make fun of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I'm not against it. But I'd rather give a ton of credit from an analytical standpoint to Jason Kidd and Luka Doncic and the rest of the Mavs roster, because you look at that Mavs roster, I mean, who is their second best player, right? I mean, maybe Illinois high school legend Jalen Brunson is right. Some days. Maybe it's Spencer Dinwiddie some days. You know, it really seems to shift on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes it's Maxi Kleber, which, like, who is that guy, right? It's really, really an interesting team. And they've done it by just playing absolutely incredible defense, given the composition of the roster. Whereas Phoenix played great defense all regular season, and for whatever reason, they just were not able to slow down the Mavs enough when it counted. So I think that was the part of the matchup that was most interesting to me, was the Dallas defense locking down the Phoenix offense. I think what they realized is, at least to some degree, Phoenix is an offense that perhaps maybe as much as any other team in the entire league relies on elite shot making. They love to take mid-range shots, but they have two of the best mid-range shooters in the league in Chris Paul and Devin Booker, so it tends to work out okay. What the problem is when you can test those shots well enough, and when you bother Chris Paul a little bit, and when you kind of get under the skin of Devin Booker a little bit, and those guys start missing, they don't have a great backup plan. Ayton couldn't really get going inside. He was pretty much a nothing. He played 17 minutes in Game 7, didn't really contribute at all. The other parts of their offense, I think they just kind of stayed home and said, sure, you want to take 100 mid-range shots? Do it. We'll put some long arms in your way, and we'll see what happens. And Phoenix could not make enough shots and couldn't get enough stops on the other end to get it done. I think it's a huge credit to Dallas. Like I said, I mean, they really did a great job of scouting out that series, and they made some great adjustments after the first couple games.
Matt, how much do you knock Chris Paul for his performances down the stretch of that series? And Trevor brought it up earlier in the show. I think this is the fifth time a team that he's been on in the postseason has had a 2-0 lead and not won the series. Of course, you go back to the finals last year. That was the case against the Bucks, and the same case here against the Mavs. He's very well respected throughout the league, a Hall of Fame point guard, but just has had moments in the postseason where, one, he hasn't won a ring, but have had series get kind of pulled out from under him. What do you make of his performances down the stretch of this one, and how much this affects the way he's thought about?
I think it's a great question, and I kind of have two separate thoughts on it. One of them is on Chris Paul himself, and then one of them is sort of a league-wide observation. The first on Chris Paul is that I don't think his legacy is ever in any doubt. I mean, this is clearly just, I know it's not just about the numbers. I know there are aesthetic things about players that we care about. I know there are, you know, the level of competition you reach. He's only been to the finals once. It was last year. They lost. I think there are, you have to take those things into account when you're discussing legacy. But from an on-court standpoint, Chris Paul has been an elite point guard in the league for 15-plus years. He has been so, so insanely good despite aging, despite getting hurt. Every single time he's on the floor, he's one of the more valuable players in the league. He's always in the top 10 of the advanced metrics that try to estimate player value. He gets the most steals of, like, any guard in the league every year, and he turns it over fewer than any other guard who's as high usage as he is every single year. So he has so much value to the team. He adds so much value to the team. He has an unimpeachable career. However, it's really wild that he is on the butt end of, what, three or four of the biggest playoff collapses of all time? Like, not even just, well, that, you know, the bad team got up 2-0 because, you know, they were at home, but they, you know, the other team had injuries in the regular season, and they ended up losing in six, but it's not that big a deal. Like, no, this was the Phoenix number one seed, easily the best team in the league, had, like, the number one or two offense, had the number, like, two or three defense, whatever they had. They were the clear deserved favorite, right? And they still blew this series. That's really, really wild. And you can obviously go back to the previous examples, like the Rockets in like 2015. There's some really, really crazy stuff out there. The thing that I will say from a league perspective about this is, when we look at Chris Paul, he's a diminutive guard who relies a lot on sort of finesse. And he's, not to say he's not a physical player, because he is, but there's only so much physicality you can exert on the game on both ends when you are 5'10" or whatever he really is, 6'1", 6'. You know, I think that it tells you that what I've said on this show, actually plenty of times, I've said that the best archetype of player and what everybody wants in this league is a big playmaking wing with size who can both get to the rim and shoot a little from outside. That's the Giannis type, the Durant type. the Kawhi type, the LeBron type, the Luka type. You'll notice I'm naming all of, like, the best players in the league, guys who lead their teams to championships. Steph Curry's really the only guard to lead his team to a championship, and he's in sort of a unique situation. A couple of those years he had Kevin Durant, by the way, but also Steph is clearly, you know, the best shooter of all time and a top 10 player of all time. I think there is maybe some ceiling when you are a small guard, and it's something that teams should probably think about next time they're looking at small guards in the draft, is that those guys may score in bunches, they may play great defense, they may lock people down on the perimeter, but when it really comes down to it and you need buckets in the playoffs, you're going to have to just fight through contact at the rim and get layups and get fouls and do all that stuff. And Luka's doing that better than Chris Paul, and all the other tall guys are doing it better than the short guys. So I think it's something to consider from a team-building perspective.
No doubt, without a doubt. Matt Cilic, NBA expert. Follow him on Twitter, at MCilic2. That's just the number 2. We started out west. I'll stay out west, and it's always funny that it seems like Golden State's the team that everybody talks about. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I just don't hear anything about them. And yet, here they are. They're in the Final Four. And, you know, you got guys like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry going off, hitting 7 threes, et cetera. I just love watching Steph Curry play basketball. He is so fun to watch, and it just seems like the moment's never too big for him, and he just loves coming down and firing a 40-footer and nothing but net. But what is it about this Golden State team now, in your mind, that thinks they could maybe get to the finals?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things is, hey, you talk about a team that's done it before,
right?
I mean, this is as much championship experience as you're going to find on any roster in the NBA. It's the same core that won them a title or two back when. They don't have Kevin Durant anymore, but they've replaced him with, you know, probably a better cast, certainly a better cast of role players than they had with that team back when. You look at guys like Otto Porter, they had Gary Payton, obviously he's not been hurt. But this team has more tools that they can kind of mix and match and play different styles. I think they have a little bit more of that. Looney is healthy. He's been playing really well. He played great in this last series against Memphis. I think that they've shown that they are in a little bit, they're a different team, right? They're not quite as physical as they used to be. They're a little bit more finesse. Klay is maybe not. He's certainly not as good as he used to be. He's just still a little bit quiet coming off of the injuries. But this team, you add the infectious energy of a guy like Jordan Poole, who has totally exploded into a borderline star this year. All of those factors combined, I think, add a little bit of extra oomph to this team that without somebody like Poole, I think maybe they would have been a little bit too slow. And you add a Poole on the offensive end, he's not giving you speed on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, he's got so much speed and verve. And you add it to an already amazing core with some of the best decision makers we have in the league. A guy like Draymond, who can, you know, facilitate great play on both ends every single possession. Yeah, it's a team that can win a title, I think. At this point, if you look at, you know, everybody who's left, I wouldn't hate it if someone said they were the title favorite just because they do have the star power and they do have, you know, that championship pedigree that the other teams that are currently left just they don't have. They don't have the same level. So I think it's certainly they're a really solid team. I'm excited to see how they match up with Dallas because I think they, similar to Phoenix, it's another team that Dallas maybe will try to kind of physically overpower. And I'm curious to see if it works on Golden State, who's obviously been on this level plenty of times.
Matt, last year's finals, to me at least, seemed really appealing because it was something different. You had the Bucks, you had the Suns, teams that hadn't been there in a long time, and whoever was going to win was going to be someone that, again, hadn't won it in a long time. And you've had some stretches here in the NBA where there's been, you know, LeBron's always in the finals, or Golden State handful of years ago, same type of deal. What I'm getting at is when you have the Heat and the Celtics and the Mavs, and then you throw the Warriors in, would you be okay with the Warriors winning? Is there a little bit of still Warriors exhaustion just because, well, there's been a little bit of a buffer of them not being a top-level contender here last 2 years or so. How do you look at that with them at least?
I think I'm okay with Golden State being in it. You know, I think I was never someone who hated Kevin Durant for what he did from a personal standpoint. Like, I thought that was over the top, and we can talk about that for days. But, you know, going to the Warriors and turning them into a super team, I mean, ultimately, if you look back at those series, the Cavs teams that they played in the finals were so good. and it didn't matter at all. I mean, those Cavs teams were really, really some of the best teams that we've seen in the last 20 years, and it truly, they still weren't even close to beating Golden State. That's how good Golden State was with Durant. I think that's what made them, to me at least, a little bit unlikable, because I wanted something different, and to come into every season saying, well, they still have Durant, right? So they're going to win it all unless someone gets hurt or multiple people get hurt, which was the case in 2019 when the Raptors won. You know, I think that that was what made them unlikable to me, at least. The team at the core itself is not that unlikable to me. I mean, Steph Curry is a pretty likable guy. Klay Thompson is a hilarious buffoon who drains threes all day long. And Draymond is quite a character, and I think somebody who's really enjoyable to listen to talk about the game. So I don't really have a problem with Golden State. I think you're right. There's been a couple years of a buffer. They're not the same team they were. It's a little bit like, it's not quite to the level of, like bringing the old agent out of retirement for one last job. They're not quite that old yet, but it's kind of got that vibe, like a little bit. It's them versus all these young, hyper athletic teams. So I think that's what's maybe compelling to me is that, yeah, it's that Golden State team from 2015-16 with maybe a few different pieces in there, like Poole. But they're not those guys anymore. They've got a little bit more wear and tear on those legs, and it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of climb the mountain one last time. Well, maybe not last. I mean, who knows how many years, but at least one more time, even at, in getting into their early to mid-30s.
Talking NBA with Matt Cilic, let's go to the East. What makes Miami so good?
I personally think it is defense and control of the game. And control of the game kind of goes on both ends. But one thing that I talked about about Chris Paul earlier is, like, by getting the steals and getting the turnovers, Chris Paul tends to have really good control of the game until you physically take him out of the game, which it seems like Dallas was able to do. Miami, just because they have Jimmy Butler is another guy who can just kind of take control of the game. He gets you the steals on the defensive end. He gets you low turnover play on the offensive end with a few assists. He's going to get to the foul line. He's going to somehow end up with 36 points despite only hitting like 1-3 in the entire game. I think that's what they do really well. They have some good shooters. They have a really strong defense. They're incredibly well coached, one of the best coaches in the entire league, Eric Spoelstra, we all know. They are just such a solid organization. They all have, there's no doubt about the chemistry on that team. There is like an organizational philosophy of everybody is here for one reason only. We get as far as we can every single year. And Miami is a team that if you look at them, they pretty much have never gone out in the playoffs. The exception would probably be just LeBron and the Heatles losing in 2011 to the Mavs in the finals. They pretty much never lost since around that time a series that you would have expected them to win. And they are just that team, right? I think they have a tough challenge in Boston, but they are so determined and they play such strong connected defense that I think they're going to pose a really tough challenge and a different challenge than Milwaukee, although I think they have a similar fight to Milwaukee, Miami does. So I think it'll be a really interesting series from that perspective.
Jason Tatum was unbelievably hot from three in game seven. They win that game by 28 points, and even game six, he dropped 46 points in Milwaukee to turn that thing around, down 3-2, to then Boston winning that series. Now, I'll admit, I got Jeff Goodman alerts on my phone because I follow college basketball news. He's been telling everyone on Twitter, it's popping up on my phone.
He's talking to you.
Apparently.
That's all. I mean,
he says Jason Tatum's the most complete player in the NBA. What say you, Matt Cilic?
I mean, he's not the most – if you're saying he's the most complete, you're saying he's the best, right? He's not the best player in the NBA. But I think he's – I have kind of resisted the Tatum. There's been a lot of people who over the last, say, 3 years have said Tatum is ascending and he's in the top 10 of all NBA players. He's at that level. I have not been able to get on board with that the last few years. I think what we're seeing now, I think he might be – He's certainly at least in that top 15-20 range. And at that point, we're splitting hairs between some of the best players in the game, right? So he's at that level now where he is taking over games. I think the game six performance, everyone will talk about game seven because it's game seven. How could you not? I think winning at home against a Milwaukee team that is depleted and tired and hurt, and it's just, Grayson Allen is out there giving you nothing. I think winning game six on the road, scoring 46 in that game, that's as impressive a game as we'll probably see all year from anyone. I mean, a truly, truly remarkable performance, and one that you really only see ever from, you know, guys who are at that level. So I think he has ascended to, this guy's a star. You have to believe that he is going to give you everything he has in a playoff series. I do still think he has more flaws than guys like a Giannis and Embiid, you know, the real true class of the NBA. But, I mean, he's as good as anyone who is not in that super, super hyper elite championship leading tier. And frankly, you know, 3 weeks from now or so, when the finals are underway or are over, we might be saying he's at that level. If he takes them to a championship, I think you have to, that's a significant enough achievement that you have to put him up in that top 10, even with the sort of top 7-ish of the guys who you'd consider, this guy could lead us to a championship any given year if we put the right pieces around him.
Last one for you, Matt. How do you look at, as these series are about to get started, who would you view as the favorites? And a lot of people thought Bucks Celtics, the winner of that, would advance on to the NBA Finals. Do you see it as that clear of an advantage for them against the Heat? And then Mavs Warriors, who do you like there as your favorite going in?
I really want to see, for Mavs Warriors, I really want to see how the first game or two plays out. I know that that's cheating, but I just think when you look at this Mavericks team, is different than they played all season, right? They're just playing at a higher level right now, and I think that their coaching advantage, I don't know if that advantage will hold up. I mean, they just did it over the coach of the year, so there's really no reason to think that it won't hold up against Steve Kerr and co. But that coaching advantage that they had in the last series was really, really incredible. And the way that Luka is playing is, yeah, it's sort of at that Tatum-ish level of like, yeah, this guy is, he's the real deal, right? So, yeah, obviously I'm not going to, you know, make a prediction and say, oh, I just need to see a couple games and I'll let you know who's going to win the series. I think that the Warriors would be my favorite. I think it would be by a decent margin. A lot of times a team like Dallas that wins in such a huge upset over its seed is one that runs into roadblocks in the next round, right? We saw that with, say, like Portland a few years ago. They beat up on a couple injured teams, ended up in the Western Conference Finals. And they were a decent seed that year, but I think their talent level was low and they got stopped by the Warriors, right? So I think I could see something like that happening, but I don't think that they will get stuck. I have Golden State as maybe a 60-40, 70-30 favorite, but I do like them in that series. I'm curious to see. I mean, Dallas, I would never have picked Dallas to win the last series,
right?
So who knows, maybe they surprised me again, right? I thought Phoenix was a for-sure winner there. So, and then on the Boston side, Boston and Miami, I think Miami having home court, a bigger deal than some might expect. You could argue that if Milwaukee has home court, in the last series against Boston, that they are maybe the team that emerges victorious there. But Miami, maybe a little bit more healthy. Kyle Lowry is hopefully going to be able to play. Rob Williams, his availability will be a factor. But I think I probably do like Boston. I think that that series with Milwaukee, as you mentioned, Piper, that might have been, it could have been the NBA Finals. I think it was, at least in my opinion, the Eastern Conference Finals. And yes, you can say Miami won more games this year. They won like two more games this year, right? It was so tight at the top of the East. It's not that big a difference. I think Miami's really good. I think the series will go several games. If Jimmy Butler pulls something out of the hat, I certainly think Miami has a chance to win. But I probably would pick Boston. I think they just have more scoring on the court, and they don't take anything away on the other end versus some of Miami's guys like a Hero or a Duncan Robinson if they try to play him. Like, it gets a little bit messy on one end or the other. So I would go, say, Boston in six and Golden State in, let's say, six. But I think that could easily be a five, or it could be a Dallas in six, honestly.
Yeah, you never know. You just never know. And the fact that Duncan Robinson is still playing in the NBA, I still am confused by that. I'm confused by how good he's become. He's a starter in the NBA, and I just never saw that happening. So, Matt Cilic, it's always fun to break it down with you. How about this? Before the finals start, we'll get you on again to kind of break that one down. Does that work?
Sounds perfect. Yeah, would love to talk finals when that time comes. Hopefully we'll have a really – I mean, with these four teams, we'll certainly have a lot of good storylines and a really good matchup to look forward to.
Always appreciate your time, Matt Cilic. Thank you, sir.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Matt Cilic at MCilic2, breaking stuff down. I was going to ask him about Luka, but I'm like, nah. It's just funny to me how he just – that dude just does everything. Just everything. And he's so – I mean, you can't – you have to be big to guard him. If you're not, he just pushes you around. And then, but if you're big to guard him, then he just makes you like a fool with his ability to dribble.
Yep.
Just everything about him. Was he just drafted by Dallas, I assume?
He was drafted by Dallas, and it was the Hawks trading up and taking Trae Young instead of Luka that is getting scrutinized.
So where did Luka, do you remember where he went in the draft?
I think he was third.
Okay. Man, third's the place to be.
It was Ayton, Trae Young, Luka.
Luka. Tatum was number three, right? He went third, I think. Celtics got him.
Markel.
It was Markel, and then I thought there was somebody else, and then Tatum. I could be wrong, but we need to check that. It's amazing. The was Jimmy Butler third out of Marquette?
He was not. No.
Okay. He was Marquette.
Yep.
Yeah, Marquette.
Drafted by the Bulls.
I tell you, it's funny. Miami, you know, everybody's just sitting there going, well, you know, the East has already been won, whoever wins Celtics Bucks. I'm not saying they won't, but it's funny how we just keep sleeping on Miami, and they do something right every game.
They were the one seed. They've got home court. But you were right. Jason Tatum, the third pick. You had Markelle Fultz, then Lonzo Ball.
Oh, okay.
By the Lakers, number two.
Is he still with the Lakers?
He's with the Bulls.
Well, I was going to say, okay, now how many balls are in the NBA? How many of the ball...
Depends on the night.
...family? Who are all the brothers? I don't know LaMelo, how to go about this.
LaMelo and Lonzo. LaMelo for the Hornets. LaMelo,
okay.
Lonzo now at the Bulls. LiAngelo never made it.
I was going to say there was a third.
He's a Ninja Turtle now.
Very rare third ball that just didn't make it in the NBA. So, all right. Hey, I messed up with Illinois golf. I didn't mess up telling you they're tied for fifth in the regional, but one of their golfers is leading the regional right now. So when we come back, I'll tell you about that. Plus, Chester Frazier had a chance to catch up with Piper and Joey Wagner on IlliniInquirer.com. We played a little bit of it last hour. I want to play some other clips from Chester. It's really good stuff. We'll react to them. We'll do it all next. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
Hi, my name is Kelly Doherty with OSF Healthcare, and I am a certified nurse midwife in the obstetrics and gynecology department. It's such a thrill being a part of a great team bringing life into the world. We have so many different options for expecting mothers to choose when it comes to our services. For example, the open birthing rooms that can facilitate guests and having a special playlist of music to help soothe mom during delivery. These help tap into what I do as a midwife and really bond during the birthing process to focus on mom and baby and getting them close to each other as soon as possible. We also offer water therapy and other alternative labor management options. Resting, recuperating, and getting a good meal are all on our radar to make a family comfortable in this new chapter. And you'll find it all at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. If expecting parents want to explore their options, just visit our website to meet with me or any of our staff and get a tour of our fabulous state-of-the-art facility, including our labor and delivery suites and our special care nursery. Visit our website for all the details at osfhealthcare.org.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
What makes Prairie Gardens one of the very best gardens centers in the entire country? It's the PG Plant Experts, helpful and happy to share their knowledge gained through years of real gardening experience. It's the highest quality plants, grown fresh in our own greenhouses and from the best growers in the Midwest. It's the largest selection of flowers, veggies, and herbs you'll find anywhere, anywhere. So pick from the best. Prairie Gardens, locally owned since 1964. Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
The Weekend Warrior. The two-day handyman. You're going to tear up the basement. You're going to clean out the garage. Where are you going to put all of that junk? Let Bulldog Disposal take care of it for you. With dumpsters, 10, 20, and 30-yard containers and more available, they can handle your residential, commercial, industrial, or construction project. For more information on what they can provide for you, call 217-841-2629.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years. And for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hey, this is Ben Grice at the Humble Hog in downtown Paxton. And if you haven't been up to Paxton for our barbecue yet, let me tell you, you don't need a reservation. Just come on up. Barbecue with us is about as casual can get. We've got all your favorites. We're talking brisket, pork, amazing smoked turkey, our sausage. And while you're there, be sure to try the Paxton Punch. You can thank me on that later. Check us out online at HumbleHogBBQ.com.
There's one name you need to know in car repair in the central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Illini fans, stop by Game Day Spirit to shop the hottest selection of Fighting Illini gear in town. As graduation looms closer for many of our seniors, what better way to celebrate their time at U of I than to head down to Game Day Spirit? Shop their Illini classics through great brands like Nike and Champion, plus a lot of great novelties to complete your experience. Shop with us in-store at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, on the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online anytime at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit. Where Illini fans shop.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Pipes, I'm getting called out, and it is deservedly so. A 217 set. Good God, Lon. Have you watched an NBA game since 17? I don't know if I have.
A full one?
No.
Definitely not.
Definitely. I didn't watch a full one in 2017 either. Probably 1983. Last time I watched an entire NBA game.
It's the time frame of roundabouts of winning time.
Yeah.
HBO Max.
Which is really awesome. I love that show. Man, it's been really cool. The dude that plays Magic, I mean, he hits him pretty, I mean, he's doing a great job.
Pretty spot on.
Yeah, big time. And it was hard for me to watch part of that because, you know, as a rookie, that's when they beat the Sixers. And he had to play center, and that was always, you know, that was always the big thing that, Magic's playing center. It's like, ah. And the guy that plays Larry Bird looks like him, too.
He does. Did you think that Dr. J is a little off?
Yeah, he looked old.
He doesn't look quite like...
No. That one they did not hit very well, but that's hard, man. You know, that's one of those That's one of those things where it's like, we need to, you got to get a guy that's fairly athletic looking, obviously, and then look kind of like, so I think they nailed Magic, which is really cool. And then he also said, or she, that Duncan Robinson hasn't played a minute this postseason. I didn't know that. Well, there you go. Well, that makes sense to me then, because that's the gist of me saying, why is Duncan Robinson, I mean, he started for a long time. And there was, he was a good player at Michigan, but who was the other guy that used to come here from Michigan and shoot against, I mean, he played for the Sixers for a little bit.
Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, I would put him as a starter in the NBA, not Duncan Robinson. And then Duncan Robinson ended up getting starting five spot. So good for Duncan. All right, Chester Frazier, you had a chance to sit down. You and Joey Wagner, IlliniInquirer.com. He's going to talk about getting and staying old. Obviously, there's going to be a whole lot of new faces on this Illinois basketball team, but you're getting some veteran back with a guy like Terrence Shannon. Not necessarily, obviously, veteran because of his days with Illinois. I mean, he's brand new here, but certainly a guy that has played a lot of minutes of college basketball. And you know, you do worry having, what, four freshmen coming in, three of them being guards. And that is a spot where you worry a little bit about not leadership, but just going against guys that are in their third year, et cetera. So I don't know. Is it as much of a concern anymore? I mean, like Bryce McGowan's, he came in as a freshman and dominated, except when he didn't play against Wisconsin, and yet they somehow
won.
That still will go down as one of the craziest I've ever seen.
Absolutely. There is a difference, though, where when you have older teams, you tend to win.
Mm-hmm.
So while Bryce McGowan's, not to knock him, because if you would have put him on one of the better teams in the league, he would have maybe propelled them up another notch.
Would agree.
I think that as you look at this Illinois team, we've gotten accustomed to seeing older, experienced teams the last couple of years. And now, especially when you don't have that in the backcourt, I know it's almost gotten to be cliche when you say, well, if you got old, experienced guards in the NCAA tournament, that's what really takes to go far. But
exactly.
I mean, I think it's kind of true. When you get those crunch time moments and you're putting the ball in the hands of guys in the backcourt to make plays. Now, you do have Shannon, who's played a lot of college basketball. You got, now we're got to look at Coleman Hawkins as a veteran.
Sure.
But outside of that, you are a lot younger. I think you're still going to be talented, but some of those wars that you haven't really been in, like Trent Frazier, when the game was a one possession game with 2 minutes left,
mm-hmm.
you trusted Illinois.
You did.
Because you had Trent Frazier last year going on the line. Obviously, before that, it was Io. So some of that experience is no longer there.
A conversation I had with Trevor when it's funny how I can't, when you were basically having a baby, you weren't, but you know what I get.
Yeah. When
your son was being born, it's funny how I cannot piece together a sentence that explains that. I told Trevor the last couple of years, the non-conference games, you know, those games that are just throwaway games that it's the money game, right? Like North Carolina A&T is coming in. I think they're pretty good, though, sometimes. Anyway, they're coming in, you know, and Illinois is paying you. They're going to pay them to just basically beat them, you know. They had become boring to me because of not only the talent you had on the Illinois squad, but you had the same guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we watched so many games of Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams and Io and Kofi, and I'd love to watch another 30 this year. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But this season, when you pick a team early in the year, I almost can't wait for those games because I've never seen Jaden Epps play. I've never seen Sincere Harris. And some of these guys, Ty Rogers, how's he going to look? How's Sky Clark going to look? And I think those are going to be the games that they're really going to make some leaps, I would assume, in games that they should win. So it's kind of funny how that is in the sense that, like in a game in the past, you know, I'm just trying to think of some, like Delaware State. If Illinois played Delaware State the last 3 years, you couldn't have given me a ticket to go to that. I'd probably be like, nah, I can think of something to do tonight. If you gave me that ticket next year, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want to go, because I cannot wait to see these guys and to see how they look and how they play together.
Absolutely. There was a point of your not going to learn anything more about Trent Frazier's game. Right. Damonte Williams, those guys are who they are, valuable players.
Sure.
Still You know, Trent was very, very good, but you weren't going to learn anything new from watching, especially against a lower-level team.
Right.
And, well, they're still going to have games where, you know, Jaden Epps might score 20, and you're like, okay, we got to see it against a Big Ten opponent when he actually gets guarded by some legit athleticism and whatnot. But I think that the excitement is there to see growth of, like you said, young guys mm-hmm. who are going to mature and have it all come together where it's like we kind of knew what Illinois has been. Now, you're not going to take away when you win that many games.
Not at all.
You'll be fine. Like, all right, let's talk in March and we'll be at the top of the Big Ten. I think you'd take that. But, yeah, absolutely. We've talked about new play style, but really just seeing guys take those steps. How exciting it was to see Trent Frazier make those back, you know, early in his career.
Yep.
Io make those.
Yep.
Kofi as a sophomore. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's exciting to think about those with this freshman group and just a young collection of talent overall.
We're going
to
hear Chester. Trevor came in at the break and said Woj dropped a tweet, I guess, that said Max Christie, that is, of course, the talented kid from Michigan State who really didn't have that good of a year. He's from Illinois, right? I mean, the Christies are from Illinois. In fact, we're recruiting his younger brother, I believe. But has decided to stay in the draft, and he's hiring an agent. So, interesting. We'll see what happens with Max Christie.
A guy that averaged 9 a game last year, profiled as one of the better shooters in that class in 2021, I guess. I get confused on what year is what, but he shot 32% from three. He was pretty inconsistent overall. And as a guy, you think about big leaps from freshman to sophomore year. If he would have went back to Michigan State, could have seen him as a first-team all-league guy.
No doubt.
Things really clicked together. But he's going to stay in the draft, and that contributes further to the idea of if some of these draft decisions go where some of these guys stay in, it could be really wide open.
Without a doubt. Here's Chester Frazier, not on Max Christie, but on a roster, getting and staying old.
I would love to be able to keep a group, a nucleus of guys together 2-3 years. And that's hard in college basketball these days. But you look at Kansas, Ochai Agbaji, Kristen Braun, Jalen Wilson, David McCormick. That core nucleus has been together 3 years, three, maybe 4 years, with Braun three. So being able to keep those guys 3 years, Mitch Lightfoot, 10 years. I mean, you know what I mean? Just that's how you win. That's how you win in college basketball, man. And I always tell people this, we had talent, but we also had a group of guys that have been through the wars together. Trent, Kofi, Bello, DeMonte, Jake, Coleman coming, being a freshman, seeing how it's done. Those guys were veterans. They were seasoned. And, you get those guys, you get them here in June. What they look like in June won't be what they look like in December. They're gonna get better and better because their talent level is really high. But once the experience meets the talent, they're gonna all take off. And they may all take off in different times. We don't know. They may hit a wall at a different time. But, collectively, I think if you can get those guys and keep them together, it's a pretty special group.
Yeah, he's talking about that group, and you just heard a lot of those names that we just said. Of course, they won a Big Ten title. Chester never experienced that as a player, but he did as a coach. Here he is on that.
The sad thing is now you got to go do it again. But reflecting on it, it's why I came back. I said it from day one. I wanted to win a Big Ten championship and, kept manifesting it, talking about it. And we never let our guys stop believing that we were going to win one. It looked like hope was lost. Oh, Wisconsin's got Nebraska the last game. They're going to lose and we're going to win. So that we just kept that mindset, man, that we're going to win the league. And, we did it.
We had the guys talking about in the training room before the game. They were watching the game on the TV and interrupted when Nebraska pulls that off. How are you consuming that game? What were your emotions like on that day?
So here's the crazy thing. It was that pregame. They were all huddled up in there watching it, pregame meal. So I walked in and they were like, no, don't jinx it, like type thing. And, Nebraska was winning. So I walk out. And I think, I don't know who got fouled, and they made some free throws at the end. I want to say I can't remember. They made a free throw, and they missed one, and they got the win. And, it was just fun seeing our guys that into it. And then, you know, now it's like, all right, now let's go handle our business. Now that game started off a little shaky, but we found a way to win.
That's cool. I like hearing that. That was a good question, because it is kind of cool when that stuff happens, because we're fans all the time, Pipes. I mean, that's what we are. We're fans of games, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys sometimes, like Kofi Coburn may not have a chance on a regular Thursday night to watch Purdue, Indiana, because he's practicing or going to study hall or whatever. So when they all of a sudden turn into us, we want to know how they react.
Exactly.
Are they just like us? Probably not like me, who probably would need to head to church after games. But certainly, it's just one of those where it's like, I love hearing Chester walks in, they're like, no! I think that's cool. That would be cool to have a camera there to see that, the entire time.
That'd be funny if,
Rather watch them watching that game than actually watch the game. Does that make sense?
Right. I forget which game you've told the story about, but when you're gripping the bat in the basement.
Oh, my goodness.
What if Kofi was doing that? And he's got a baseball. Can you imagine how terrifying 7-foot Kofi with a baseball bat is, by the way?
Put it down, sir. Put that down. You don't need that. Give that to the other guy. He needs that against you. You're too big. No, I mean, true. It's so funny to know. And, of course, obviously they went out and did it. They won a Big Ten title, which is really cool. All right, Chester Frazier, last one we're going to play. He is in fantastic shape. I loved his tweet to you guys about showing the bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was like a light that kept reflecting.
Really shined it up.
off his bald head. But I tell you what, Chester is still in great shape. And obviously, you have to be if you're going to just jump into practice against 18 to 22-year-olds and go at it. But that's what he still does.
I mean, the crazy thing is, man, it would be times where we didn't have enough bodies, so I would jump in on the scout team and play. And just give me a little fun. And they like competing against me because I talk a lot of trash. So it was fun for me, man, just to be able to get back out there and know that I'm doing my part in helping us prepare for a game. It was nothing more than that for me, just knowing that I'm helping these guys get ready and, I'm talking my trash and, getting a scout team. Because it's hard to be on a scout team, man. Those guys, it's a thankless job, man, when you go out there and, you got to play defense for 30, 40 straight minutes or you're running the other team sets and you got to remember their plays. So it's hard, but, seeing my, I'm 35 out there running around. I ain't even stretched, so being able to give it my all, I think it kind of, showed that, hey, if coach can do it, I'm going to be out here. I'm going to give it everything I got as well.
The difference is the kids just go home and go to bed and eat. Well, no big deal. Chester probably is like, oh, I'm sore. Even as great a shape he's in, he's probably doesn't tell that story about later that night. It takes him a little bit to get recovered and do it again the next day. Good stuff with Chester Frazier. That was a great interview you guys had with him. Certainly a huge piece of this Illinois team. And, he got that class rolling, right, with Epps and Harris.
He did.
And, of course, Ty Rogers, Sky Clark, Terrence Shannon now. I mean, there are some new faces and some ultra-talented kids on this Illinois team. I cannot wait. I can wait because I love summer. So, sorry, guys. I'm anxious to watch you play, but just not yet. Let me enjoy
summer, tailgating and football.
You know what, guys? Actually, I'm not that excited to watch you play yet.
A couple weeks in, though, as we start seeing them around the tailgates, you're going to itch to
then I'm gonna
see what
like,
they got going on over there at Ubbin.
I'm going to miss our guy, Omar Payne, at tailgates. He's pretty funny. He's like, man, everybody around here likes to golf, and they like the Cardinals. That was his quote. We're like, well, yeah, that's probably about right. He's like, yeah, I need to get out and golf. All right, back to tell you about why tonight kind of stinks. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
Illini fans.
Game day spirit, where Illini fans shop. Shop Game Day's NIL pieces at one of their three locations, in stores or online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Take advantage of great deals like $24 crew neck sweatshirts, $12 long sleeve tees, and short sleeve tees for as low as $8. Plus, shop their selection of discounted Illinois athletic equipment room merchandise.
Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Brought to you by the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit.
SJ Broadcasting is looking for organizations that regularly distribute information regarding employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notification of job vacancies at our stations, please notify Human Relations at 2702 Boulder, Urbana, Illinois, 61802, or email hr@sjbroadcasting.com or by phone at 217-367-1195. SJ Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer, encouraging minorities and females to apply.
Starting physical therapy at Mettler Center has never been easier. No doctor's referral is necessary since Illinois is a direct access state, and we are in network with all major insurance providers. At Mettler, we accept Health Alliance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, HealthLink, Medicare, and most recently, Aetna and Cigna. If you are in pain or struggling with an injury, we invite you to schedule a complimentary 30-minute consultation today to see if therapy is right for you. Learn more at MettlerCenter.com.
Next week on an all-new Law and Order.
Order, order. We convene here for case 217, Spring Green versus Weeds. Spring Green, the floor is yours.
The weeds are infectious. The weeds steal the beauty from your lawn. We offer personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a simple and transparent process. Just click on to spring-green.com for a quote.
Okay, Spring Green wins. Weeds, you're out.
That's spring-green.com.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
I mean, are you kidding me? Cubs, Pirates? Trevor, the Cubs-Pirates game, as it stands, is the biggest sporting event of the night.
We didn't talk about something that happened yesterday.
What's that?
The Pirates Albert? Won a game.
Oh, yeah, through a no-hitter.
Being no-hit.
That's the Reds threw the no-hitter and lost. That's when you know your team is not... It's not your year.
Dan Hartlib's probably surprised that we didn't text him today to come on the show. He had to have expected it.
Illinois baseball, by the way, won 2-3 against Nebraska. They're tied for third. They got one more series at Penn State. Then, of course, they'll do the conference tournament. One quick thing, NCAA golf. Illinois tied for fifth in their regional. And they've got two more days of this regional, and that's in New Haven, Connecticut. You have to finish top five to advance. They are tied with North Carolina at 7-under, Texas Tech 9-under, Georgia Southern 10-under, North Florida and Wake Forest lead at 13-under. Now, the teams below Illinois, Seton Hall's 5-under, UCF 4, Virginia 3-under, and there's other teams. But you have to finish top five to advance. The one thing I wanted to say, Pearson Hunt, who I believe is a sophomore on this Illinois team, leads everybody. He shot a 6-under 64 today. The weird part is Jerry G shot 6-over, so they didn't even count his score. He's the kind of guy who can go out tomorrow and shoot 64. So, yeah, but no Blues tonight, no hockey, no NBA, no Cardinals. They're postponed. We won't have a show tomorrow. So it's you, Trevor, the Cubs and Pirates. If we're betting, we're betting on that.
I guess so.
Oh, and my last thing, and then I'm going to let you close the show. Albert Pujols pitched and gave up two bombs. Molina's like, he's got to keep the ball down. And Albert's like, I had to throw it high because I was bouncing it in if I didn't.
All right, so I'll just end us on this.
Let's go.
Anthony Rizzo's career ERA is 0.
Oh.
Albert Pujols' career ERA is 56.
I said I was giving you the last word, and then I had to talk. All right, so say something else.
Okay, Wade Miley pitches tonight for the Cubs. Your guy, let's go no run, first inning.
This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction. With a home sold every 9 hours. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, online at RyanDallasRE.com.